Will you pray with me, please? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When my wife Amy and I lived in Decatur, the remnants of a large Gulf Coast hurricane swept over parts of Alabama and Georgia. And to our neighborhood, the storm brought buckets of heavy rain for several days, softening the sandy Georgia soil into kind of a thin brown soup. And then came the winds that whistled and gusted through the trees for hours on end. And with all that rain to loosen up the soil, and then all that wind coming from seemingly every direction all at once, some of the trees that weren't deeply rooted, they began to fall. Some trees fell on power lines, knocking out electricity for the next several days. My mother-in-law happened to be visiting from Kansas at the time, and one of our memories is playing Monopoly by candlelight for several days. Some trees fell on houses, smashing through gutters and roof lines and windows. Somebody's Chrysler Sebring ended up looking like a saltine cracker from where a tree had smashed it flat into the driveway. Mind you, not all the trees fell, not even a sizable majority of them, a very small amount of trees actually fell. But when the rains came and the winds blew, the trees that weren't deeply rooted, well, they crashed. Thanks be to God, no one in our neighborhood was injured or killed. But even so, enough trees fell that it created a giant mess for everyone. And that mess lasted long after the storm had passed. There's a revealing aspect to storms like that, because before the storm to drive around our neighborhood, all of the trees looked solid, mature, stately. But after the storm had passed, it was quickly apparent which trees had been deeply rooted and grounded, and which ones were not. And we human beings are like that too, aren't we? When the storms of life come at us and the rains fall and the winds blow, our grounding, our roots, well, they're put to the test. And this notion of being deeply rooted and grounded, it's at the heart of our reading this morning from Ephesians. So we're continuing with our summer read through the book of Ephesians. And as we've said, Ephesians isn't a book at all in the traditional sense, but rather it's a letter. It's a letter that was addressed to a group of followers of Jesus who lived, we think, late in the first century of the Common Era, who lived in and around the city of Ephesus, which lies in modern-day Turkey along the northeastern Mediterranean Sea. And as we said, most, if not all, of the people who lived in Ephesus at the time were Gentiles. That is, they were women and men who had not grown up in the Jewish faith. And as we've seen in our reading thus far, much of the introductory part of the letter is concerned with addressing this issue of Christian identity between Jews and Gentiles. And in chapter 1 of Ephesians, you may remember a few weeks ago, we were reminded that for the Gentile people, they were once a people without hope and cut off from God. But God adopted them in Christ and made them part of God's family with all the rights and responsibilities that entails. And last week we looked at chapter 2, in which the Ephesians were reminded that God is in the business of reconciliation, of bringing people into right relationship with God and with one another through the cross, and thereby building the church together into nothing less than a dwelling place for God's own self. And we turn today to chapter 3. We're approaching roughly the midpoint of this letter, wherein the sender pivots from writing kind of really dense theology to now offering a prayer for the Ephesians, and by extension, offering a prayer for us. So I invite you to listen now for a word from God from Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at the 14th verse. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God that you may be rooted and grounded in love. So the first day in his class began like most first days of class begin in almost every higher education setting, with the reading and proclamation of the syllabus. Y'all remember that first day of class, surely? And that's what we did for several minutes. We went through the syllabus and we made note of the reading assignments and the projects and the exam dates, and professor told us about his office hours. But then he stopped and he said something I will never forget. He said, "Oh, by the way, I want you to know that every morning I make a habit of praying through my class roll. I pray for each of my students by name. I go down my class roll and I pray for you by name. And so as we go this semester, if there's something that I can be in prayer for you specifically, please let me know. But just know I'll be praying for you every day by name." And then he went on with class, on to the next thing. All these years later, I remember that first day in his class. I remember the look in his eyes as he told us that he made a habit of praying for us by name. And I knew that his invitation to share with him anything specifically that we'd like him to pray for us, that it wasn't contrived. It wasn't an attempt to impress us with his piety, but it was obviously born out of a deep rootedness, a deep grounding of his faith and his love of Jesus Christ. So what about you? Maybe you don't have a class roll book or a roster, but I imagine that if you took 2 or 3 minutes, you could easily come up with a list of names of maybe 15 people. 15 people with whom you have a close relationship with. Maybe your list includes members of your household or extended family. Maybe it's colleagues and coworkers. Maybe it's neighbors and acquaintances. But however you want to come up with that list of 15 or so names, here's an invitation, a challenge for you this week. For the next 7 days, find time each day to pray specifically through that list by name. And of course, if you know of specific needs, then of course, by all means, lift those before God. But maybe say, "Well, Ryan, prayer's not my thing. I'm just not part of what I do." Well, I invite you to pray these words of Ephesians over those people on your list. Pray that according to the riches of his glory, God may grant that they may be strengthened in their inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in their hearts through faith as they are being rooted and grounded in love. That they may be rooted and grounded. You and I both know that not all storms are the same. You and I both know that not all storms affect all people at the same time in the same ways. You and I both know, even for the 15 people who are closest to us in life, we don't always know what they might be going through. But I will tell you this, from my own experience. It is a powerful thing to know that someone who you care about, someone you have a real relationship with, to know that they are in the habit of praying for you by name. And I wonder what might begin to happen in the lives of the people on your list if you made that simple commitment to that discipline this week. Maybe they might come to a love of Christ that is deep wide, broad, and long, so much so that it passes all categories of human understanding. Maybe they will be filled with the fullness of God. But here's the funny thing I've discovered in my own life about prayer. When I pray for someone else, and I'm a professional prayer, I went to school to learn how to do this and everything. I got to be honest with you, I'm not always sure it has an effect on them. I can't always be sure about that. But I can tell you this, it always has an effect on me. Always. When I pray for someone else to be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, I find myself somehow feeling more grounded and rooted. When I pray for someone else to be filled with the fullness of God, suddenly I find myself feeling more full. That's how prayer works for me. Lord knows these are difficult days in which we find ourselves. There is so much uncertainty and enmity and bitterness in our world, in our nation, certainly right here in our own community. Just the briefest of glances at the news shows that we are living through a season of many storms, and it seems like we've barely begun to assess the damage from one when another comes right on its heels. But not for nothing. The yous in this part of Ephesians, they're written in the second person plural. So in the Southern Greek, they're y'alls, or all y'alls, or in the Pittsburgh Greek, yuns. I don't know how they do that up there. It's a letter written not just to the Ephesians, but to the Athenians. It's a letter written to us too. And so as I sit with this letter, I give thanks, thinking about how many generations of our ancestors sacrificed just to preserve and protect this letter, that it might be handed on to us, that we might be able to read it today. Because you and I both know we are not the first people of God to find ourselves living in a season of storms, in a season where one comes on top of another. We are not the first people of God to find ourselves living in a time of enmity and bitterness. The writer of Ephesians says, "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name, and I pray." So there are generations of saints who have gone before us, who even now perhaps, somehow, some way, are praying this same prayer for you and me, that we will have strength in our innermost being through the power of the Spirit, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that no matter how hard the winds may blow and beat against us, that we will remain rooted and grounded in love, that even in this season when so many around us and among us are feeling frightened and angry and fearful and even empty, that somehow we will be filled with the fullness of God. So may we continue to be rooted and grounded in love, because if we are not rooted in the love of Christ, if we respond to hatred with hatred, if we return violence with violence, even if it's just a few among the many, the damage endures long after the storm themselves. So may we have courage in these days to be the church, to be the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood, trusting in His promises, not just for an hour or two on a Sunday morning, but out there, Sunday afternoon and Monday morning and the rest of the week, on the streets and in the classrooms and in the offices and the living rooms and the social media feeds and all the places where people interact with one another. May we be rooted and grounded always in love. And to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.